Well, good morning, great people of faith. It's great to see you this morning and great to be in the presence of God and His believers. Since you are in church this morning, I would guess that you are indeed people of faith. That could not always be an accurate guess. Just coming to church does not make you a person of faith. In fact, even the statement, person of faith, needs to be defined. Faith in what or whom? Because we're in church, because we're in a Christian church, a church that proclaims Christ as our Lord, we're going to safely assume that we mean faith in God, more specifically faith in Jesus Christ. You might have noticed that I called you great people of faith. I mean, that's quite a clarifier, isn't it? I mean, great's an interesting word, great people of faith, and, you know, I welcome you as a great people of faith, and great to be in church, great to be in the presence of God. Just what determines great is subjective. At least in part by your perspective. We think of somebody achieving something great, something out of the ordinary. It's somebody that did something way beyond the ordinary. Every sport has those individuals, and they argue about who is the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Every year they present the Academy Awards. Actors win an award for being great in their field. And great people of faith, really? Are we great people of faith? I mean, we have what we call a hall of fame of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. But are we great people of faith? Can we proclaim that? I'm sure most, if not all of us, would love to possess great faith. In fact, we'd love to accomplish great things in our life. To be considered a great man or a great woman, a great husband, a great wife, a father or mother, and or a great friend. And those are important, they even matter, but how does God define greatness? And God defines greatness by boiling it down to really one word. One day the mother, James and John, came to Jesus and asked him to allow each of her sons to sit at his right hand and right and left of Jesus when he came into his kingdom. I mean, every mother thinks their kids are great, right? That's how they look at them. And Jesus replied that that was up to his father. And then he began to compare what the world viewpoint and the kingdom of God and the difference. And then he says in Matthew 20:26, yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. That one word, servant. Really? That doesn't go very well in our culture. In fact, in the world's culture, no one would consider being a servant the way to greatness. But God says we have it all backwards. He didn't say he had a problem with greatness, only that you're never going to be great until you learn to serve. I mean, if you think about it, we know all great teachers do what? Serve their students. Great salespeople serve their customers, and the key to being a great leader, serve your followers. God says we have it all backwards. The way to up is down. The more you serve, the greater you are. Jesus was and is great. Follow him and you'll see that he gave, he served. That's what he did and that's what he does. And Jesus said this in Matthew 20. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and gave his life a ransom for many. The Son of Man came, the Creator of the universe came to serve. The fact that he created us and he came to serve us is amazing. Followers of Christ, we are Christians. We carry his name because we're called to be like him. In fact, we desire, hopefully, to be as much like him as possible. I mean, that's my desire, hopefully yours as well, but we have to understand something first. Unless we learn how to give our life away, we'll never be like Jesus Christ. We may claim to be a Christian, we may have doctrine or thoughts and ideas in our mind. The Bible says we're not really true believers unless we know how to serve and how to give. James encourages us, of course, we know that's James 1:22, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I like the way the Message Bible puts this verse. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you're anything but letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. God has told us that this is not a class that you listen just enough to be able to repeat it to pass the test. He says, no, you need to know it, act on it, apply it in your life. And we get our priorities all messed up. We spend a great deal of time going about the things, gaining the things that we want. At the very least, we spend a greater amount of energy providing for ourselves. And I mean, God expects us to provide for a family, but, you know, and he declares he is our provision. But the problem is we spend all our energy on gaining things. Maybe when and if we have something left over, we find a way to serve God in some capacity. And God said we should be servants first and let everything else follow. I mean, giving our lives in service to God should be our top priority. Above our careers, above our hobbies, above everything else in our lives. Doesn't mean that those other things aren't important, but where does serving God come in our life? God says the top priority in your life, after loving God and getting to know him, should be serving other people. And why does he say that? Is it, you know, is it, it's part of his plan. Ephesians 2:20 is really interesting. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We've looked in the last weeks past, you are a new creation in Christ. If you pay close attention, you'll see an incredible encouragement in this scripture. First, you are the workmanship of God, created in Christ. And you're the workmanship of God. He's working on your behalf. He's working in your life. You are God's workmanship. It says he has a wonderful plan for you, a plan he implemented a long time ago. Created in Christ to do good works, which he prepared a long time ago. Look at the Living Bible translation. It's God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. We talk about a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan. Where are you going with all this? You ever ask God what his plan for your life is? Because it says a long time ago, he planned that you should spend your life helping others. Last several weeks, really more weeks than I ever thought we would, as God has opened his word. It's so beautiful the way he opens his word up. But we've been studying Jesus' high priestly prayer as he is on his way to the garden before the crucifixion. We saw this scripture confirmed last week. And after Jesus prayed that we would remain in the world, not be taken away, that we'd be protected from the evil one, he prays this. Just, Father, just as you sent me into the world, I'm sending them into the world. We gloss over that scripture, and as I was studying it last week, I just looked at it and I said, just as, Father, you sent me into the world, I'm sending them. Just as. To understand how Christ came into the world and what he came with and how he accomplished it. He's sending us the same thing. We saw that, we said last week, Jesus came on a mission with a mission. And he sends us into the world with the same mission, and we saw that Christ anoints us with the same Holy Spirit that he was anointed with. Jesus came to save and to serve, and we are called to do likewise. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works. And here's how the scripture defines good works. Pay attention, this is wonderful. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. If we're going to accomplish the mission Jesus has assigned us, his mission, it would be wise to fully understand just how Jesus did it. It seems apparent that Scripture defines our starting point as serving. If God prepared our good works beforehand, Before he created you, he had a list of good works for you that only you can accomplish in your life and the people around you. If he created our good works beforehand and created us to do them as part of our worship to him, and then so doing then would put us smack in the middle of his will for our lives. We want to be in God's will, don't you? So if God created good works and things for you to do as a servant, when you do them, you are smack in his will for your life. And we so often mess up God's plan for our lives. And when we mess with God's plan, we make a mess of things. You may have heard of the island called Macquarie Island off of Australia. Way back in 1810, ships began to rise to harvest the abundance of elephant seals and penguins. They would take them off the island. Unfortunately, when ships arrived, they brought with them, which ships do, rats. They introduced rats to the island for the first time. And soon, it wasn't long, that rats began to overrun the island. So what seemed like a logical thing to do was to introduce cats to the island. Cats ate the rodents, but they also ate the seabirds. A new problem developed with trying to fix the other problem. Next idea was to introduce rabbits to the island as a food source for the cats. We all know what rabbits do. They multiply, right? Before long, they had over 130,000 rabbits roaming the island. The rabbits ate the grass, allowed erosion to come along and damage the island, and subsequent storms and tremors destroyed erosion-damaged penguin breeding grounds. So they brought a stoat. A stoat is a type of weasel, was brought in to take care of the rabbits. They ate the rabbits, but they also ate the seabirds and their eggs. The story continues to this day. They haven't ever fully corrected the island to get it back to the pristine that God had it. Because when we mess with God's plan and purpose, we make a mess of things. As a believer, you were created for service. If we're not serving others in some way, then we're not walking in God's divine design. House or two ago, we had a clock on a wall in a kitchen, mostly for decoration. We really paid more attention to digital clocks, but this was up there with this little setting, and one day I noticed it stopped working. Actually, it apparently hadn't been working for a while. So I took it off the wall and turned it over, and you know what happens to batteries when they haven't been used for a while? They began to leak. Because batteries are made to be used. People, God's people, created in Christ in your salvation are made for service. We're in the service industry. Not being used for God and not serving him, you will corrode on the inside. You need to give out. We know that God loves us and it was his work that accomplishes our salvation, but Scripture assures us that everything God did and does for us, he does out of love for you. We know that God is our provider. But unfortunately, there's a message that runs through certain faith circles that basically says that once you're saved, that God spends the rest of his days meeting your every whim and fancy. If you have enough faith, you got it. As if we are the only ones that mattered. I mean, that's a dangerous and disappointing theology to get caught up in. I mean, God does desire to bring blessings in your life, and he does bring blessings in, but his plans for you go so much deeper. Timothy clarifies this for us. Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:9, it is he who saved us and chose us for his holy work. Not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan long enough, long before the world began, to show his love and kindness to us through Christ. Now, when I stand up here this morning and talk about serving, and I got to do something. I'm going to serve. Do you see that God calls it a holy work? That serving Christ is a holy work? Have we not been talking about partaking of the divine nature of God? Saved us and chose us for his holy work. And what is holy work? The Bible has a very special word for holy work. It's called ministry. And another word for ministry or minister is service or servant. You look for the word minister in the New Testament, and it's a minister of the gospel, and if you go deep enough, you find the word simply means servant. Two go hand in hand. And once saved, and once we begin to really know God, We have a longing for more of God. We have a longing for heaven. And when going gets tough, we long for it even more. And Scripture supports that God longs to be with also. He wants us to be with him. There's a day coming, but we know clearly already that once we got saved, God didn't immediately take us and transport him to heaven. He wants to be with us. We want to be with him. We want to shed all this nonsense, but God says, no, we got things to do. We got things for you to do. He left you here to carry on the work of Christ, the ultimate servant. And we've seen that Jesus makes this abundantly clear as he prays for us. Moments before his rest and crucifixion, as we've watched for weeks, we saw this, that he prayed this: I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. One translation says, they're not any more of the world than I am. He prayed for you that you should be kept here and protected. Why? Because this has a mission for you. His next words are 17, 18 of John 17, sanctify them by your truth, and your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. You may feel like you don't have a purpose in life, that you're really not much use to the kingdom of God, that you don't have a lot to offer. But nothing could be further from the truth. Years ago, there was a TV show. If I told you the host's name, I'd be aging myself, and if you recognize it, you'd be aging yourself. If I said Merv Griffin, who would know the name? Too many of you old people do, yeah. Other young people are going, what's his name? One day he had a guy on interviewing about a bunch of bodybuilders. One guy was incredibly muscular, and so he asked him, what do you use those muscles for? So he positioned himself as they do. He flexed a certain way, and the crowd went wild, clapping. I mean, incredible physique. He said, that's really nice. He said, but what do you use those muscles for? The guy flexed again, and the crowd went crazy again. He kept saying, yeah, but what do you use those muscles for? And the guy was bewildered. He had no use for those muscles other than flex and get applause. As we grow in Christ, we become stronger in the Lord. We develop spiritual muscles, if you will, but what do we use them for? I mean, why do we come to church? Why do we read the Bible? Why do we go to Bible studies? Why do we pray? Why do we develop spiritual muscles? Just to say, look at my Bible biceps? How many scriptures I can quote? Or to know God? This is life eternal, to know the Father and Jesus Christ whom he sent. To know God and to use that Bible muscle. Scripture teaches us very clearly that maturity is for ministry. And maturity is never an end in itself. We all want to be mature Christians. We all want to know the Word of God. We all want to be involved in those things. But to give out what we put in. And we'll never be a true mature Christian until we start ministering, serving. Maturity is for ministry. I mean, muscles have a purpose. Strength has a purpose. We hear the phrase, God's call. And you immediately think of a special people like missionaries or pastors or clergy. They've got a call on their life. And you're sitting there probably, you've never experienced a deep sense of calling. I remember when God began to call me to the ministry. I had no idea where he was taking me. I just knew he was drawing me. I sensed this call, if you will. We all expect some kind of burning bush experience. It doesn't really happen that way. But you're saying, I've never had a call in my life. So if I don't have a call, I don't have a calling. But that's not true. The truth is, the Bible says every Christian is called. Because the call to salvation and the call to service are the same. We are all called to be a blessing to others. The work of the minister, in fact, the work of the clergy is to prepare you for works of service. Ephesians 4, 11 and following. It was he who gave to some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service that the body of Christ may be built up. We think the works of the service, that's the preacher's job. Preacher has a place. And most of the place is to prepare you to do the work of the kingdom of God as you're out in the world. And the works of service have a purpose to them so that the body of Christ may be built up. If you're a believer, if a follower of Christ, if you're a Christian, then you are called to ministry. The Bible says every believer is called to serve. Every member of God's family is a minister. Not everybody is a pastor, clergy. That's an office. But a minister. And a minister is a servant. And a servant is simply somebody who serves, finds a way in some capacity to serve the kingdom of God. Wherever you use your abilities, your God-given abilities to help other people in the name of Christ, you're ministering to them. God has blessed each and every one of you in some unique way. You have a gifting that's important to the body of Christ. You may question that you have a gifting. I can prove you have a gifting. 1 Peter 4:10. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on other God's many kinds of blessings. Did you ever notice the Bible doesn't say we're to use our abilities and our talents that God gave us to further ourselves? Oh, we will. I mean, if we have God-given talents and abilities, and yes, you've studied or applied yourself in whatever field it is, and you're able to accomplish much in your life to provide for yourself, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's all part of God's plan, but you're really not supposed to use them just to further yourself. For our benefit, for our personal provision, our main purpose is to serve others when they need it. Whatever your gifting is. Once you've given your life to Christ, the Bible says that God has given you those abilities to use in ministering to other people, whatever it may be. Sometimes I've noticed in the church, somebody has a gift that helps is hugely important. Gifts of hospitality, gifts of giving, serving. I mean, we don't have to just all be preachers, but we need to serve. Maybe you just edify people with what you know and how you are. But to touch others for Christ, to find a way to give in other people. We saw in Matthew 20, Jesus said we're to serve as he did. He gave his life in serving. Have you given your life to Christ? To give your life to Christ is to be a servant. Because a non-ministering Christian is a contradiction. To call myself a Christian and not be involved in ministry, serving in some way, is unbiblical. It's a contradiction. To be a Christian means to have the attitude of Christ, the mind of Christ, to be partaker of the divine nature, and to live a life of serving. Jesus said, I came to serve. But human nature does not want us to serve other people. That's not our nature, our human nature, because a servant taps into the divine nature of God. We want to be served. Our outlook is, who's going to meet my needs? Who's going to help me? Who's going to help heal my hurts? Me. That's how we look at things. But the believer, the follower of Christ, turns that around and says, whose needs can I meet? Who can I help? How can I serve? Who can I touch? And where you're at in this, your needs versus other needs, says a lot about your maturity. And I'm not saying you don't have needs. We all have needs. And we hunger for God to meet them, and he does. And many times he uses other people to do it, and that's the point. Jesus made a staggering statement that we've read in the past in John. John 14:12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also, and greater works than these, he will do because I go to the Father. And we read that and we think of the great miracles Jesus did. If you believe in me, you see these works, you're going to do them also. And contextually, he's talking about that. He's telling the people and disciples, believe on me for the works that you see. And you've seen these works. When you follow me, you're going to do those things and even greater because I'm going to the Father. It's part of his plan. And we believe that, we read that, and they said, you know, we should be able to lay hands on the sick and they recover. We should be able to cast out demons, and it's all true. We should do that. That's all part and parcel of it. We should walk in those things. Christ wants us to do and accomplish all of his works. He wants us to reflect him. That's why he prayed before his crucifixion that we not be removed from the world, but be protected from the evil one. But he also wants us to be a servant. You'll be far more effective in praying for others when you do so with a servant's heart. The mature Christian says, whose needs can I meet? Because you realize the more you give your life away, the more God blesses your life. And sometimes you can do it when you're struggling. We all have times of trials. We all have difficult times. And you think, well, I've had times in my life. I'm just trying to get through the day. I'm trying to get through the moment and what's going on, let alone serve other people. But when you have a servant's heart or when you know and love God, you'd be surprised how you can meet others. Most of you know, it was quite a few years ago, back in 03, I had open heart surgery, kind of a surprise. Went in for a test on a Thursday, it was a Labor Day weekend. They said, you can't leave the hospital. You have one 99% blockage and a few others, and you can't go home. Labor Day weekend, I had to wait till Tuesday. When somebody tells you you need open heart surgery, you want them to stick a needle in your arm and put you out and go do it. You don't want to lay there for 4 days and think about it, right? So we did, and we prayed. And so every day I would pray, and God would give me a scripture, and I would have Chris put the scripture up on the little whiteboards so I could read it. That was for me, praying and getting through this event in my life. I only found out when we were leaving, the nurses would come in every day to see what new scripture was up there. I didn't put it up for them. They were to meet my needs there. They're to help me, right? But you can be a blessing when you shine Christ. They would come around and say, what's up there today? I didn't know that. So even in your trials, I know sometimes we have seasons, but you can still find a way to reach others. When you concern yourself about the needs of other people, God takes care of yours. We want to be like Christ. We want to have the heart of God. We want to move in the miracles of God. We want to move in the mighty things of God. And God says part and parcel of that is having a servant's heart. We are so grateful that God has a servant's heart. We're so grateful that God desires to meet our needs. To have the heart of God is to have a servant's heart. We're grateful that God sees our needs. Do we see other people's needs? Or do we look past them? Sometimes I see other people and they just add. And God speaks to me sometimes and said, are you looking at him like I do? I met a guy out of town. It was just an unusual looking person. And my first reaction was, this guy's like a weirdo. And I thought, where's my heart? Do I see him like God sees him? How selfish we can be. How judgmental we can be. Just our first thoughts. Some time ago, you probably recognize it, Brandon Heath wrote a song about having God's eyes. Let's just take a moment and watch it.
Look down from a broken sky, traced out by the slides. My world from a mile high, best seat in the house tonight. Touch down in the cold black top, hold on for the sudden stop. Breathing the familiar shock of confusion and chaos. Are those people going somewhere? Why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah. 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 Step out on a busy street. See a girl and our eyes meet.
does her best to smile at me, to hide what's underneath. There's a man just to her right, black suit and a bright red tie. Too ashamed to tell his wife he's out of work, he's buying time. All those people going somewhere, why have I never cared? Give me your eyes for just 1 second, give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity, give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten, give me your eyes so I can see. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I've been here a million times, a couple million eyes, just moving past me by. I swear I never thought that I was wrong. Well, I want a second glance, so give me a second chance to see the way you've seen the people all along. Give me your eyes for just 1 second, give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity, give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten, give me your eyes so I can see. Give me your eyes, Lord, give me your eyes so I can see for everything that I keep missing. Give me your heart.
Invite the worship team to come forward. I'm thankful God sees. That's why he has a servant's heart. He sees, he cares. When we have a grateful heart towards God, we want to serve him. We want to have his eyes. We want to serve others in the name of Christ. Jesus said, paraphrasing, whatever you do for others, you're doing it to do for me. Whether you clothe them, feed them, even a cup of cold water given in my name is like giving it to me. We would have that heart to serve God. Wouldn't that be a great thing? We want to grow great people of faith. Let's be great servants for Christ. Let's stand together and worship our God this morning.